Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Tentacles and Triathlons by Ashley Bennett, narrated by Jack Callahan and Liam Price. Prologue. Reese, age 10.
God damn it, my father grumbled, his eyes focused on the smoldering embers in front of us. We're getting low on firewood.
We can grab some from the storehouse in the morning, I offered.
If you want breakfast in the morning, you're gonna go get us a bundle right now. Take the flashlight and go.
He dug through the duffel bag at his feet and tossed me the flashlight. We were on our monthly father-son camping trip at the campground that sat at the edge of Briar Glen. The monthly camping trip I dreaded because it meant alone time with my father. I flicked the switch on the flashlight, and a pale stream of yellow light illuminated the ground in front of me. Do I really have to go? The thought of walking in the woods alone sent a shiver down my spine. My father scrubbed a hand over his face and sighed.
It isn't too far. Just follow the trail to the storehouse and get the damn firewood.
Will you go with me? I gave him a pleading look, but I already knew the answer.
Reese Michael, you have been coming to this campground 4 years. You're a big boy. Go on now.
Wordlessly, I rose from the stump I was sitting on and turned my back on my father. My lip quivered, and I clenched my fists, willing the tears away. There was no way I was going to let my old man see me cry. Gods, I hated him. No matter what I did, it was never good enough for him. I pointed the flashlight in front of me and set off through the woods. Leaves crunched under my feet, the pitch black of the forest making me grow more and more uneasy with each step. For a spring evening, it was eerily quiet. The walk seemed much longer than I remembered. I whipped around, my eyes scanning the darkness for the warm glow of the campfire, but I didn't see it off in the distance. My head spun, the tall trees swirling as they loomed over top of me, and I dropped to my knees. I was disoriented. Disoriented and lost. There was no way I was going to tell my father about this. He'd never let me live it down. A twig snapped nearby, and my heart raced. Hello? I stammered, waving the flashlight through the darkness. Is anyone out there? I'm lost. My voice wavered, on the verge of tears. Standing on shaky legs, I forced myself to keep moving, to find the storehouse, or my father. Anything to make me feel more at ease. As soon as I started walking, a shadow bolted in front of the light. I let out a blood-curdling scream, dropping the flashlight next to my feet. A fuzzy hand darted out to cover my mouth, the scent of decaying leaves and dust filling my nose.
Hush, human, a voice that was more like a buzz whispered in my ear.
It leaned in close, its red eyes staring at me, blinking slowly. The creature they belonged to was the stuff of nightmares. I could just barely make out its wiry body and the two antennae that shot out from the top of its head.
What are you doing in these woods all by yourself, little boy?
It asked in that same buzzing tone.
Don't you know these woods are home to monsters?
The monster let out a shrill laugh that sounded like the buzz of a wasp's nest or a beehive. My ears rang, and tears tracked down my face. What was this thing,
And why was it tormenting me? Again, it leaned in closer, until the fur of its face tickled my nose.
On the count of three, I'm going to let you go, and you're going to run back to your campsite as fast as you can. But if I catch you, well, you don't want to know what happens if I catch you. I never want to see you in these woods at night by yourself ever again. Got it, boy?
I nodded my head, my eyes wide with fear.
One, two, three.
The moment the creature released me, I snatched the flashlight from the ground and raced through the woods like my life depended on it, because, for all I knew, it did. I didn't turn around to get another look at the monster. I just kept running, scrabbling over twigs and rocks until the glow of the campfire came back into view.
"What the fuck, son?"
my father bellowed as I collapsed at his feet, my chest heaving. The monster, I sobbed. There was a monster in the woods. My father tisked.
You know there aren't any monsters in Briar Glen, Reese. Get your ass off the ground. I'm guessing you didn't get the firewood.
Still crying, I shook my head no.
God damn it, boy. I ask you to do one fucking thing, and you come back crying about monsters. You're too old for this shit. Get in the tent and go to bed. I can't even look at you right now.
I wiped the snot dripping from my nose and crawled inside the tent.
Worthless kid,
I heard my father mumble under his breath. The tears continued as I settled inside my sleeping bag. He could think whatever he wanted, but I knew what I saw. It was an awful, scary monster. And as much as I hated that monster, I hated my father more.
1. Cyrus. I blinked at the bright white canvas in front of me, willing something, anything, to inspire me to paint. My art dealer, Eduardo, had been ringing me non-stop about new pieces, but over the last few months, I'd been at a creative standstill. Everything in my life had become boring, repetitive, bland even. Being one of the oldest monsters around, and potentially the last of your kind, could do that to you. My tentacle clenched the paintbrush tighter, almost as if commanding it to move, but it was no use. Bollocks! I cursed and whipped the brush at the canvas, coating it with a splatter of yellow paint. The door to the studio cracked open, and my roommate, Fallon, peeked his head inside. Everything okay in here? Fine. I huffed and collected the brush from the floor. Fallon's beady eyes followed my movements before focusing on the smeared canvas. Still nothing? Not a damn thing. He stepped through the doorway, his talons clicking against the wood floor, and gave me a sympathetic look. Well, as sympathetic as someone with a beak and a feathered face could look. Are you going to be able to handle tonight? I can find another ride and we can always say, I'll be fine, I said in a clipped tone. This is important to Atlas and Tegan. As one of his oldest friends, I should be there to show my support. Atlas had always been there for me when I needed him most, through my most recent college experience, my move to Briar Glen, and now in my current existential crisis. After everything he went through with Jade, he deserved happiness, and tonight I'd be there to celebrate with him and Tegan. Fallon dipped his head in a slow nod, and his tail flicked back and forth behind him. I could tell there was more he wanted to say, but for once he didn't press the issue. Okay then, well, I should probably start getting ready. With that, he headed down the hall to his room, leaving me alone in my studio. I tilted my head from side to side, rolled my shoulders, and let out a deep breath. My frustration and anxiety were getting the better of me, leaving my body feeling sluggish and drained. There wouldn't be enough time to make it to the gym for a swim, so a soak in the tub would have to suffice. I shuffled across the hall to my bedroom and into the adjoining master bath. Popping sounds filled the space as the suction cups of my tentacles stuck to the tile floor with my movements. The sticky buggers could be a nuisance, but they had their advantages. I never had to worry about slipping in the shower. While the tub filled, I stared at myself in the mirror, the fluorescent lighting reflecting off my skin. I admired the perfect turquoise shade, decorated with deep blue-green stripes and splotches that allowed me to blend into the water. In terms of my appearance, they were probably my favourite attribute. Unlike humans, I didn't wear clothes. My muscular chest was always uncovered, tapering down into a narrow waist that flared to my tentacles. I had 8 in total, but preferred to use 6 of them for movement, keeping the other 2 wrapped around my arms. They were quite helpful, serving as extra hands for painting or cooking, or whatever task I was undertaking. Some days I truly enjoyed being a kraken, but others I felt like a total abomination. Even by monster standards, I was quite odd. I shut off the tap and used my tentacle to open the jar of raw sea salt I kept on the edge of the tub. I sprinkled a generous amount into the bath and used the strength of my tentacles to agitate the water, dissolving the crystals. I hummed and slid into the warm, salty water. My tentacles fanned out around my waist, slithering and sliding with delight. It often felt like we were 2 separate entities. There was me, and then there were the tentacles acting of their own accord. While they soaked, I grabbed my phone from the ledge of the tub and scrolled through my social media accounts. A series of engagement photos of Atlas and Tegan popped up on my feed. The wolven's snout was scrunched into a happy smile as he stared down lovingly at his human mate. Simply put, the 2 of them were adorable. I was happy for them. Truly, I was. But if I was being honest with myself, I was also quite jealous of my friend and the love he'd found. Being one of the last kraken, the majority of my 700-year life had been quite lonely. Other than my friendships, of course. Sure, since monsters had come out to humans, I had more opportunities to socialize, but I worried my presence made humans uneasy. At this point in my life, it was unlikely that I'd find a mate, and even if I did, would they want to be with me? I dug the sharp tips of my teeth into my thin lower lip and willed myself not to cry. I was supposed to be replenishing my saltwater stores, not depleting them. With a sigh, I set my phone aside and submerged myself under the water, allowing the warmth to wrap around my body. As I floated, weightless, my thoughts drifted back to the photos of Atlas and Tegan. Would I ever be worthy? Would I ever find that type of love?
2. Reese.
God's damn! I whooped as I fought to catch my breath. My lungs burned with each gulp of air I desperately sucked down. I smiled at the time on my watch before throwing my arms up over my head and walking in slow circles. This was my best run time yet. At this rate, I'd have no problem with the 5K run and 20K bike portions of the Briar Glen Triathlon. That 750-meter swim, though, that was a different story. Due to my muscle mass and poor form, my swimming prowess resembled that of a manatee. I had no speed or stamina whatsoever. Either I had to take my training to the next level, or let go of this pipe dream. And I wasn't a quitter.
"Struggling there a bit, huh, Rollins?" Jimenez said with a sly smile, as he slowed to a stop beside me.
The asshole had barely broken a sweat, and that would explain why he finished so far behind me.
"Go fuck yourself, Jimenez," I said with a laugh.
My eyes focused on the round globes of his ass in his tight athletic shorts as he trotted off toward the tennis courts to do his usual cool-down routine. Javier Jimenez was the most attractive guy in Briar Glen, and he just so happened to be my subordinate at the Parks Department. More recently, he'd become one of my closest friends. To my dismay, that put him strictly off-limits. I turned away from the tennis court and Jimenez, casually adjusting my cock. I needed to get laid. Bad. As I palmed myself in public, because I had no fucking self-control, my phone vibrated in my pocket. My mother. "Hey, Ma, what's up?" I said as I plopped down on a park bench and tugged my sweaty tank top away from my skin.
"I wanted to make sure you're coming over to Tegan's later."
She used that authoritative voice that all moms seem to take with their children, even the adult ones.
"This is important to her, Reese."
I tisked and ran a hand through my sweat-soaked hair, brushing the light red strands out of my eyes. That was right. My sister was having a little get-together this evening. She wanted me to meet the woven that mated her within the first week of knowing her. My awkward silence was a dead giveaway of how I felt about the situation.
"Reese?"
My mother's voice was laced with tension. "Come on, Mom. I didn't forget. I'll be there."
"You better be on your best behavior, Reese Michael. Atlas is wonderful, and we want him to feel comfortable around our family."
"Well, I'd feel more comfortable if he kept his sharp monster teeth away from my sister's puss—"
"Reese!"
she bellowed, cutting me off. I couldn't help but laugh. "I promise I'll behave." It was the truth, too. I wanted to like my sister's mate. And more importantly, I wanted to improve my strained relationship with her. Things between Tegan and me had soured since I'd expressed concerns over the monster integration of Briar Glen. She just hadn't experienced what I had. As much as I tried to move past it, I was still haunted by the memories of that camping trip from my childhood. Monsters made me feel uneasy. Monsters with their sharp claws and beady eyes, their talons and their tusks. I shuddered at the thought.
"Were you listening to a single thing I said?"
my mother asked. "Sorry," I spaced out for a second. "I just finished my run."
"Please try to be open-minded. And you never know. Maybe there will be some nice guys there for you to meet."
I exhaled a deep breath and rubbed my sweat-streaked temples.
"I don't need you, Tegan, and her mate playing matchmaker, Ma. I'm happy being single."
That wasn't true. I was fucking miserable, but she didn't need to know that.
"Whatever you say, honey. Love you. See you later. And Reese, don't forget the veggie tray."
"I won't. Love you too." I ended the call right as Jimenez sat down next to me on the park bench. Sweat trickled down his temples and slid along the bronze column of his neck. "Fuck. How was your time?" he asked as he lifted his tank top to wipe the sweat from his brow, revealing a sculpted six-pack underneath. I puffed out a breath and quickly averted my gaze, focusing on a centaur couple playing frisbee in the field across from us. "My best yet?" He gave me that winning smile of his, all straight white teeth and full lips, and shook his head.
"Wasn't your bike time the other day your best, too?"
"Mm-hmm." I leaned against the back of the bench, cradling my head in my hands before tilting my freckled face up towards the sun. "And swimming?"
"Damn, dude," I scoffed. "Way to kill my runner's high."
One corner of his mouth tilted downwards. Even when he was frowning, he was still hot as fuck. I needed to get a grip.
"Still struggling?" Jimenez asked.
"It's improving. Slowly. I need more time to practice, but it's hard to get down to the lake with our work schedule."
"I feel that, man. You need to join a gym with a pool."
He put his arms along the back of the bench and stared at me. No way. No fucking way. A chill ran down my spine at the thought of stepping into a gym full of monsters. Look, Reese, monsters are competing in the try. You're going to have to get over this at some point. Your sister is marrying a monster. He owns a gym with a pool. Might as well make the most of it. How would you feel if Celine dated a monster? You wouldn't be concerned. I knew that Jimenez was just as protective of his baby sister as I was of mine, and the two happened to be best friends. Nah, man. If they treated her right and made her happy, that would be enough for me. It had been 25 years, and I'd yet to have another experience like that with monsters. Maybe Jimenez was onto something. Atlas had been nothing but a gentleman, gentle wolven, to my sister. According to my mother, he even went out of his way to make sure she'd be safe during the full moon. Tegan was happy with him. She was cared for. That would have to be good enough for me. Cars lined the long driveway leading to where Tegan's cottage sat nestled amongst the trees. Did they invite the entire town of Briar Glen? This was ridiculous. I finally found a spot and parked my car. As I walked closer to the house, that's when I saw him. Atlas, my baby sister's mate. He was a towering wall of dark gray fur that deepened to black at the tips of his ears, paws, and tail. Speaking of which, that fluffy tail wagged as he leaned over and gave my sister a kiss. Atlas's ears twitched as I approached, and he turned to face me, his bright yellow eyes catching me off guard. Hey, he said in a deep, gruff voice as he waved a massive claw-tipped hand in my direction. Tegan turned and gave me a tight smile. Hey, Reese, glad you could make it. I knew Atlas was tall, but holy shit! At 6'4", I wasn't used to other people towering over me. The wolven was easily 7 feet. Tegan gave me one of those awkward side hugs and cleared her throat. Reese, this is Atlas, my mate. The wolven gave a toothy smile, and the sharp, white points of his teeth gleamed in the late afternoon sunlight. Nice to meet you, bud. He extended a furry hand out to me. I hesitated, not being into casual touch, before taking his hand in mine and shaking. For being a naturally designed killing machine, he was surprisingly gentle. Nice to meet you, too. Our mom has told me a lot about you. Tegan glared at me and put her hands on her hips. And, we're happy to have you as part of the family, I added. Atlas smiled even wider. That means a lot to me. I nodded my head and extended the veggie tray out to him. I brought the veggie tray? Come on, we'll get this on ice and I'll introduce you to some people. Atlas grabbed my sister's hand and motioned for me to follow them. A warm smile spread over Tegan's face as the three of us walked around back. I couldn't remember the last time I'd seen my sister so happy. And honestly, Atlas seemed nice. But this wasn't the full moon. In an instant, things could change. That was the thing with monsters. You could never really tell.
3. Cyrus. The beanbag flew out of my webbed hand and careened toward a cornhole board emblazoned with the Leviathan fitness logo. With a loud thud, the neon green bag dropped into the hole, giving me another 3 points. You've got to be kidding me! Fallon groaned from the other end of the yard, where the cornhole boards were set up. When you said you'd never played before, I didn't expect you to be this good. I blinked my wide eyes and gave the griffin an innocent smile. Although I'd never played, my kind tended to take to new games easily. Fallon wouldn't know that, though. Krakens were mythical creatures, even among mythical creatures. Maybe it's the tentacles or something. My grin widened as one of the thick tendrils in question uncoiled from where it was wrapped around my forearm and gave Fallon a playful wave. He shook his head and trotted over to me.
I've had enough of getting my ass kicked for one day. Let's grab a drink and mingle.
Initially, I'd been hesitant to attend the party, but Atlas and Fallon were both adamant that I should be present. I knew my appearance could be unsettling to humans, and I hated the thought of any of Atlas and Tegan's guests feeling uncomfortable. It wasn't every day that you saw an ancient blue-green sea creature shuffling around on six tentacles. I resembled something you'd see in a Guillermo del Toro film, not a guest at a backyard barbecue. But that was what was refreshing about Briar Glen. For the most part, the town and its inhabitants were supportive of the monster integration. Fallon led the way to the cooler, and I scuttled close behind him, my tentacles rolling and writhing over the grass to propel me along.
"Water for you, Si?"
he asked, digging through the cooler with his scaled talons. "Please," I said, scanning the crowd around us. It was an interesting variety of humans and monsters, with the two groups intermixing and engaging in friendly conversation. Fallon used his claw to pop the cap off his beer, and just as he was about to speak, Atlas called out to us.
"Hey, guys, come here for a second. I want you to meet Tegan's brother."
The wolven shifted his giant body, and that's when I caught my first glimpse of him. The rays from the sun caught his hair, illuminating the light red strands in a fiery blaze of colour. His face was handsome, chiselled and masculine, with a thick moustache above his lip and a beard covering his jaw. A light dusting of freckles coated the bridge of his nose and cheeks. Forest green eyes accented with tiny flecks of gold assessed me. Watching my every move as Fallon and I neared the small group, as I came to a stop next to Atlas, the wolven affectionately placed a heavy paw on my shoulder.
"This is Reese. He's the head of the Parks Department here in Briar Glen."
Atlas gave my shoulder a soft squeeze and smiled down at me. I wasn't a small male, but it certainly felt that way when I stood next to Atlas. Fallon cocked a talon in Reese's direction and ruffled his feathers.
"Fallon, nice to meet you, bud."
Reese paid him no attention and instead kept his vibrant green eyes focused on me. This was exactly what I was afraid of. I was a tentacle beast of the sea, making the brother of my best friend's mate uncomfortable.
"Hello," I muttered. "I'm Cyrus. Cyrus Jennings."
I extended a hand to Reese, my tentacle gripping my arm tightly, almost cutting off my circulation. Reese stared at my outstretched palm for a moment, his handsome face set in a wary scowl. It was like he was judging it. Judging me. Right when I was about to pull away and die from embarrassment, Reese placed his hand in mine. His skin was soft and warm, and as we shook, he locked eyes with me.
"Pleasure," he said in a baritone voice that had warmth spreading throughout my body.
As he spoke, it felt as if everything in the background became muted and faded away. For a moment that seemed to stretch on forever, it was Reese and I shaking hands, staring into one another's eyes. But then it was over. Reese cleared his throat before pulling his hand away and wiping it on the fabric of his khaki shorts. His reaction surprised me. I wasn't wet and slimy like an octopus. My skin and tentacles were smooth and cool to the touch, but they didn't leave behind any residue whatsoever.
Maybe his palm was sweaty.
A small frown tugged at the corner of my lips. Atlas must have noticed and attempted to break some of the tension.
"Reese is training for the Briar Glen Triathlon. He needs to work on his swim time, so we'll be seeing him at the gym."
Atlas clapped the human on the back, and Reese had to brace himself to avoid stumbling forward, obviously caught off guard.
"Yeah, about that,"
Reese started to say before Atlas cut him off.
None of that. We're family now. The pool is there. Use it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?